Das Thakur ki jai, ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ramsey Gahosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Giradhar Srivastati Gaur Bhakta Vinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Swamakum Radhakum Giri Govardhan ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Sri Mayapranav Dham ki jai, Gangamaya ki jai, Jamunamaya ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Somveda Bhakta Vinda ki jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Holy Nam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Go Himanandi. All glory to some devotees, all glory to some devotees, all glory to some devotees, all glory to Shishi Guru and Shigauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 31. Vishvam yad etad sva tanau Nishante yata vakasham purusha paro bhavan bibharti so yam mama garbago bud aho nalokasya vadambanam hi tat Vishram yad etat svatana visante yatavakasam purusha parobhavan vibharti so young mamagharababhu oho nalokasya vidambanam itat Vishwam yadetad svatanau visante yatavakasam purusho paro bhavan vibharti so young mamakhara bhagobur oho nulokasya vidambanam hitat Vishwam yadetad svatanam visante yatavakasam purusha paro bhavan arti soyam amagharvam bhur oho nalokasya vidambanam hitat Visamiritad patanam sante Itaham purusa paro bhavan Arto yam mamagarbo Arto Visam yadetad patanau visante Ika pukasam purusa paro bhavan Varni soyam mamagar bhagobur Aho rasya vidam panam ta Matajis Visam merita satana visante Ida vakasam purso parova Vibharti so yam vamagharva gova Oho nara kasya vidambanam vika Vishwam The entire cosmic manifestation. Yat etat containing all moving and non-moving creations. Svatano, within your body. Nishaante, at the time of devastation. Yata avakashang, shelter in your body without difficulty. Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Para, transcendental. Bhavan, your Lordship. Bibharti, keep. Sa, that. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ayam, this form. Mama, my. Garbhaga, came within my womb. Abhut, it so happened. Oho, alas. Lokasya, within this material world of living entities. Vidambanam, it is impossible to think of. He, indeed, tat, that kind of conception. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. Purport. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the Supreme Personality of God is of two different kinds, Aishvarya Purna, full of opulence, and Aishvarya Sitila, without opulence. Real love of Godhead begins with Aishvarya Sitila, simply on the basis of pure love. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Hridyesu Viloka Yanti Yung Syama Sundaram Achintya Gunaswarupam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Brahma Samhita 5:38. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema, love, want to see the Supreme Personality regarded as Syama Sundar, Muralidhar, with a flute swaying in his two hands. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Syama Sundar, not as Lord Vishnu. Narayan, who was worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she is near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yasoda. And on the Mathura and Dwarka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of His opulence. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son Krishna in that stage of love, and therefore she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw His opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation on this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mangchevyo vyacharanya bhakti yogena sevatu saginan samititaitam brahmabhyaya kalpate. One who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform, Vasudev, and Devaki, therefore, being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear which is due to intense love. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abjanati yavanyas chasmitatvataha, and as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktya aham ekaya graya, without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages, called Guni Bhuta, Pradhani Bhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions, which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or Prema. That is, simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called manabhuti. When one comes to the stage of jnanamayi, one realizes the transcendental opulence of the personality of Godhead. But when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. This is what is wanted. Especially in the Madhurya Ras, one becomes attached to the personality of Godhead, Shivigraha Nishta Rupadi. When loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begin, or then loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begin. A special significance of Krishna's bearing a flute in his hands in Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, is described as Madhuri Virajate. The form of the Lord with a flute in his hands is most attractive, and the one who is most sublimely attracted is Srimati Radharani, Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. Om Ajnanata Marandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudevena Maha Bukhan Krota Vacha Lung Bungun Lung Hayate Grim Yet Kripa Tavahan Vande Shigurum Dinatharanam Vancha Kalpa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Bodhitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare. It appears Devaki was a little concerned that she would be ridiculed for having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her child coming out with four arms. Who would believe such a thing? So therefore she wanted Krishna to manifest his childlike form. Be easier for people to believe this. Yeah. There's a lot of things in our scriptures that are kind of almost unbelievable. How is it possible? Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill. Krishna, a child, killing so many demons. How is this possible? But then we have to ask the question, is God ordinary or is God extraordinary? God's not ordinary. He doesn't do things like we do things. Sometimes he does. But he naturally will do extraordinary things because he's God. Yeah. And we're going to see many extraordinary things going on in this 10th canto. And these activities that Krishna does, this is what makes him God. This is what makes the difference between us and him. We don't do extraordinary things, right? We can do little things that appear extraordinary, but only little things. But Krishna does so many extraordinary things. And therefore, devotees are attracted to Krishna. The name Krishna means all attractive. Krishna is very attractive. Just like it's described that there's eight parts of Krishna's body that resemble the lotus flower. Who knows what they are? Two hands, that's right. Huh? 2 feet, lotus feet. Eyes, yeah. Navel, yeah, and? Huh? No. Did you say thumbs? One more, that's seven. The face, yes. So these are eight parts of Krishna's body. They resemble lotus flowers. The Krishna is very attractive, very beautiful. Lotus flower is the most beautiful flower. So Krishna looks so attractive. And there's 24 and a half parts of Krishna's body that resemble the moon. Let's see how you do with that. Huh? Fingernails, there's 10 right there. And toenails, that's 20. He gets the Mahaprasadam today. Though 4 and a half more. Moon. The half is the, right, very good. Yeah, the half is the forehead. What else? 2 cheeks, there you go, yeah. 2 more. Who knows? For a half of the plate of Mahaprasadam. The next two are a little difficult to get. Sandalwood paste also resembles the moon. And, again, the face. So Krishna is very attractive, very beautiful. The most attractive person in all creation. And because he's so attractive, the gopis, they thought, Lord Brahma, he's not a very good creator. Because he created these bodies with eyelids that close. It means we can't see Krishna for that fraction of a second. It's like during this class, we're all going to blink our eyes so many times, nobody notices. Right? Gopis blink their eyes with Krishna in front of them and they notice. You know, what is this? What kind of a creator is this? You know, creating the body with eyes that blink. We can't see Krishna for that fraction of a second. And only two. Why did he only give us 2 eyes? They wanted to have thousands of eyes to see Krishna. This is the gopis. This is love. But there was no selfishness. They only wanted actually to please Krishna. And what's interesting is Krishna, he also just wants to please his devotees. So in the spiritual world, it's all about selfless service. Everybody just wants to serve Krishna. And Krishna, he just wants to serve everybody else. So there's a transcendental competition. Krishna is pleasing the devotees so much, and the devotees are so so grateful. They want to please Krishna more, and then Krishna sees their devotion. He wants to please them more. It just goes on and on, unlimitedly. They want to please each other. In the material world, everybody just wants to please their senses. So the world of selfishness, everybody is selfish. Wants to satisfy their senses, their mind, their senses. But we're not our mind, we're not our body. Evam bhure padang budva samsam snyatmanam atmana. Knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material body, mind, and senses. One should carefully engage in Krishna consciousness and slay this formidable enemy known as lust. Prabhupada said our old enemy, Mr. Lust. So this is the... Actually, this lust is a perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. We just have to purify this and bring out this love for Krishna, this attraction to Krishna. And automatically our attraction to this world will dwindle, disappear. And people are attracted to things of this world. It's like previously, people used to love people and use things. And now more and more people are loving things and using people. So this is the modes of nature. Everybody is bewildered by these modes of nature, attraction to the material nature. It's described that this material world, it's like an ocean. It's an ocean of material existence. And the modes of nature are tossing around the living entities in these waves of the material nature. And sometimes one of these waves of the material nature will push the living entity up and he becomes the prime minister of India. And then another wave comes and knocks him down and he becomes a dog in Sweden. Yeah. There was one prime minister here, wasn't it? The astrologer said, yeah, prime minister, I forgot which one, Nehru, yeah? Nehru, he became a dog in Sweden in his next life. Yeah. So this is the waves of material nature. It's tossing the living entity up and down. And he's suffering in this ocean of material existence. Sometimes he's getting bitten by sharks and swallowed by whales. And it's a dangerous place. Param param yad viparam natesham. Material world. There's danger at every step. In America, about every year, about 600 people die from rolling off their bed. So you had to be careful, even when you roll off your bed. Yeah. Dangerous. There was one sannyasi, Devamrita Swami, he rolled off his bed many years ago. He broke his arm in a cast. Yeah. Material world is dangerous. Yeah. Even when you roll over. So an intelligent person will try to make plans to escape from this prison. This prison of material existence. You know, there's different levels of prisons in this world. Just like in the prison system, there's a first class prison. This is where political prisoners, they go. It's just a house. It's like, political prisoners, they go in these houses, and it's called house arrest. It's just a house, But they can't go anywhere. So they're in prison, but it's not so bad. First class, 5-star prison. But it's still a prison. He can't go anywhere. And then the second class prison is, oh, there's not so much security. And then third class is top security, high security. Just like here in Bombay, there's probably some real nice neighborhoods in Bombay, yeah, and mansions, yeah, nice. And then there's middle class, and then there's the slums. So if I ask you, which prison do you want to be in? Which one do you want to be in? First class, second class, or third class? Right? Most people in Bombay, they want to be in the first class prison. They want the mansion. Right? Everybody wants the mansion. Nice neighborhood. But it's still a prison. And they're shackled by their material desires. They're shackled by contamination. And now they're using up Shinye Punye Martilokam Vashanti. Now, due to past activities, they have this first class nice facility, but they're using it up. Next life, another wave comes and they get downgraded, some lower position. And most of them are sinful, so they go to hell and they go into the animal species. Not very nice. So better to leave this world and go to the spiritual world. There's no old age, there's no disease, no coronavirus. Everybody's talking about the coronavirus. So yeah, this is the place where there's no anxiety, Vaikuntha. Prabhupada wrote this one book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. He wrote, that's the first book Prabhupada wrote. And he was distributing it here in India. And he met one man that had received the book from Prabhupada some weeks before. Prabhupada was our first book distributor in ISKCON, Prabhupada. Imagine how good a book distributor Prabhupada was. He had the right consciousness. Yeah. So one man who had received a book from Prabhupada 3 weeks earlier, he went to Prabhupada and he said, I read your book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Nice book. But I have a question. If I go to the spiritual world, do I come back again? And Prabhupada said, no. No, you stay. And the man said, no, I'm not interested. And Prabhupada could see that the man, he wanted to go to the spiritual world, back home, back to Godhead. But then he wanted to come back here again to boast, to tell his family members, yeah, I was there, it was a nice place. Boast to his friends. But because he couldn't do that, no, I don't want to go. So it's amazing, huh? And so many people have heard that there is a place beyond this world. There's no old age, no disease, no extreme cold, no extreme heat, no anxiety. But who wants to go there? Practically nobody. And therefore, this is Kali Yuga. People are not very intelligent. Not very intelligent. So Krishna, he's known as Dhyampati. Dhyampati means the Lord of Intelligence. So we should pray to Dhyampati, the Lord of Intelligence, that we have enough intelligence to devote our energy to Krishna, to always think of Krishna, but to think of Krishna as He is, not sifted through our contaminated consciousness. Sometimes people have very unusual understandings of Krishna. But we have to think of Krishna as He is, as He's being described here in this purport. The most attractive Lord Krishna. And the more we think of Krishna, the more we get purified. The more we become free of our material desires. Akinchanasya dantasya santasya samachetasa maya santusha manasa sarvasukha maya dasha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that one who is free of material desires, not an easy thing to get free of material desires. Because how long have we had these material desires? Long time. Millions of years, millions of lifetimes we've had these material desires. And now in this one lifetime, we're trying to become free of all this contamination, all these material desires. And just have one desire, to serve Krishna. That's the goal. When we leave our body, there's only one desire, to please Krishna. So you have to pray for that. That one desire, just to please Krishna. Akinchanasya dantasya. Dantasya means one who has controlled the senses. Goswami. He's able to control the senses. The senses are pushing so hard. It's like we have that picture in the Bhagavad Gita of the five senses, compared to the horses. And the horses are dragging the living entity. And the reins are compared to the mind. The driver is the intelligence. The chariot is the body. And the soul is the passenger. And the soul looks very scared. Oh, no. Don't lose control of the chariot. Don't lose control of your senses. People have lost control. It becomes very scary. Because people are losing control of their senses, their mind, and causes havoc. Just like last year in America, you had the worst in history of America, so many people committing suicide. 47,000 people committed suicide last year. Anxiety, out of control, don't know what to do. So therefore we have to distribute these books. People are confused. Don't know what the goal of life is. They're not finding any happiness. Just frustration. So this is an alternative. In Australia, we had one big Sankirtan bus. And on the side of the bus, in big letters, it says, the positive alternative, Hare Krishna. So this is the positive alternative, Hare Krishna. So we have to direct our senses into pleasing the senses of Krishna. Then we'll be satisfied. Otherwise, we're not going to be satisfied. Prabhupada once said, if I didn't control my senses, then I would just be another person in the crowd. Prabhupada had many very attractive lady disciples. And believe it or not, some of them wanted to marry Prabhupada. believe it or not. And so many Swamis, they went to the West and they fell down with their disciples. All of them. They all fell down. Prabhupada controlled his senses. And therefore, he's glorious. Goswami. So we have to learn to control the senses. The senses will push and pull. But we're not our senses. We're not our body. We're not our mind. We're none of these things. So the more we're able to understand this, the more we'll be able to control the senses. Akinchinasya dantasya santasya. Then we're peaceful. If we can control the senses, then we're peaceful. If we don't control the senses, then ashanta. Krishna bhakti nishkama atayava shanta. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. Devotees of the Lord, Krishna bhakti nishkama atayava shanta. They're shanta, they're peaceful. Why? Because they've been able to control the senses. They're free of this lust. But bhukti, mukti, siddhikami, those persons who have material desires, bhukti, mukti, they want liberation. They want mystic cities, siddhikami. They're not satisfied because they have these desires. Of course, you can't give up desire. Sometimes you'll find these people, they're meditating, and the goal is to become free of desire. Have you met people like this? Become free of desire. But you can't become free of desire. We're not stones. Desire must be there. And even that desire to become free of desire, that's a desire. Right? Not possible. But we can purify our desires just by thinking of Krishna. Thinking of serving Krishna, we become purified of these material desires. Santasya samachetasa. Samachetasa means he sees everyone equally. This is a devotee. It's like Prabhupada. He saw everybody as spirit soul. He was in Hawaii one time. He was in his room, bedroom. And one devotee was cleaning the room. And this devotee, while he was cleaning, he saw one very unusual looking bug. And he said, Prabhupada, look at this very unusual looking bug. And Prabhupada came over and he's looking at the bug. He said, yeah, unusual. Now chant to the poor thing. And Prabhupada saw it as a soul in an unusual bug body. Yeah. He saw equally. So the devotees started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. To the poor soul in this unusual bug body. So Prabhupada saw everybody, spirit soul. And so fortunate we are for that, because Prabhupada, he went to America and many people here, many so-called sadhus and Brahmins, they wouldn't do that. Even it's considered to be in a fallen condition if you cross the ocean. Swamis aren't supposed to cross the ocean. You know that? Not supposed to. Even for Prabhupada to do that, some Swamis and Brahmins, they would think that he became degraded. He crossed the ocean. What to speak of, then he went to the Lower East Side and preaching to the Westerners, trying to make them devotees, and then making them devotees, and then making them Brahmins. and making them sannyasis. Prabhupada saw the soul. Anybody that has the quality can be a Brahmin. It's not just by birth, janma. No, it's by quality. And because Prabhupada was so pure, he was able to transform. He was able to transform people in the lowest modes of material nature into brahmanas. This is the Shakti of Srila Prabhupada. So much Shakti. Like Prabhupada, you know, he only opened one temple. Which temple was that? 26 Second Avenue. That's the only temple that he opened. Actually, he did open one here also in India, but it didn't last. What was that? The woman's... Jhansi. Yeah. He opened that one also. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. Anyways, that's Krishna's arrangement so that he can go to the West. So he opened that one temple, 26 Second Avenue, and eventually so many people came. Became devotees. And then he started sending devotees to other places, like Mukunda, now Mukunda Maharaj. He was going to India. He told Prabhupada, I'm going to India. And Prabhupada said, okay, have a good trip. And he said, well, I'm going through San Francisco. So Prabhupada suggested, just off the top of his head, nonchalantly, while you're in San Francisco, maybe try to start something. Start a center maybe. And Mukunda said, all right, yeah, maybe. You know, no plan was made. So he went with his wife and Jamuna Devi, his stepsister or sister-in-law. So they had friends in San Francisco, Guru Das, Samasundar, he was Sam. And they were shocked to see the change in Mukunda. Michael Grant at the time. Or actually, he was initiated by then. They wouldn't take any LSD. They wouldn't take any drugs. And they were married. Back then, nobody got married. It was free love. And just do what you want to do. Marriage? That was the old generation. Nobody got married. Just girlfriends and boyfriends. That was the way they did it. But they got married and they were shocked. And they wouldn't take any drugs. What happened? But they're happy. Mukunda was happy. His wife was happy. Jamuna was happy. What are you guys doing? What's making you so happy? Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. So they started chanting and they got into it, reading the books. They became devotees. And Mukunda said, well, hey, maybe let's try to start something in San Francisco. So they all went to San Francisco, all six of them. And they got a storefront. Back then, temple meant storefront. Little storefront. So they got this storefront in San Francisco. And so many people started coming. And they were serving out prasadam. And people started chanting Hare Krishna. Many people started chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books, becoming devotees. So then Mukunda thought, it's time for Prabhupada to come to San Francisco. So they sent a ticket to Prabhupada, an airline ticket. He could fly to San Francisco. Prabhupada had never flown before. 70 years old, never flown in a plane before. So it was quite an experience. Yeah. He said the houses looked like little matchboxes. So Prabhupada arrives in San Francisco. And back then there was no security. So all the devotees, there was about 50 devotees there, chanting Hare Krishna. So they were all right there at the gate where people exit from the plane. So before Prabhupada even got off the plane, he can hear the loud chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He had not even stepped foot off the plane, and there's 50 devotees chanting Hare Krishna. Can you imagine how ecstatic Prabhupada must have been to hear the chanting? He had not even gotten off the plane. I mean, that's Shakti, right? That's Prabhupada. So then he gets off the plane and everybody's giving him gifts. And he's handing them back to people. And then he stays there for a couple months and he's preaching, making more devotees. And then he's sending devotees to Seattle. He's sending devotees to Los Angeles. He's sending devotees to Australia, to Germany. One devotee, he went to Germany. There was no devotees there. He was 16 years old. He went there to open a temple in Germany, 16 years old. That's a boy. Unbelievable. And he started it. He started the preaching in Germany. Amazing. He sent another boy to Africa, South Africa, 19 years old. So this very interesting here. He went to Kenya first, this 19-year-old boy, Kshuti. Any of you know Kshuti? Prabhupada's disciple. So he went to Kenya first because Prabhupada had already been there and there were some contacts. So he went to Nairobi first and he met some people there, favorable people, got three names of people that were in South Africa that he can contact when he goes to South Africa. So he got these contacts, met some people in Nairobi. He's on the plane now going to South Africa and he has some pictures of Krishna in front of him and he's praying to Krishna for some guidance, for help. There's no devotees, there's nobody in South Africa that knows anything about Krishna practically. Of course, there's some Hindus, but no ISKCON, nothing. So he's praying to Krishna. And one Indian man, he walks by in the aisle in the plane, and he sees the nice pictures of Krishna. And he tells the devotee, Kshuti, yeah, you have nice pictures of Krishna. So Kshuti says, yeah, please, have a seat. Let me tell you what I'm doing. So he tells him, I'm going to South Africa to start a ISKCON center. And they're talking and he's familiar with ISKCON a little bit. And then Kshuti, he tells this man, I have these three contacts in South Africa. See if you know any of these people. So he looks at the first name and he says, that's my father-in-law. Next one he looks at, didn't know. Next name, that's me. I mean, is that mystic? Yeah. Prabhupada's very mystical. Made so many amazing arrangements. So this gentleman that sat next to Kshuti, he became the first life member in South Africa and helped him so much. So he was there for 6 months. In South Africa, Kshuti Prabhu. No devotees. He was there by himself for 6 months. Imagine that. You go to a country and you're there by yourself preaching. Imagine. So, Akinchinasya Dantasya Santasya Samachesa Maya Santusha Manasa. This means that one who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness. See, if we follow strictly this path of Krishna consciousness, we'll be satisfied. We won't look elsewhere for happiness. We'll be satisfied. So this is one of my favorite verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who is free of material desires, whose senses are controlled, who is peaceful, who sees everyone equally, and who is satisfied in Krishna consciousness, wherever he goes, he will only find happiness. This is the result of practicing Krishna consciousness. We'll be very happy. On that note, Hare Krishna. Time for questions? Or is it past? Maybe one question if anybody has. Yes, our translator. Bring the microphone to him.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful narration of Prabhupada's pastimes and Krishna's pastimes. I have a request to you. Kindly, can you please explain the 24 and a half moons?
24 and a half, yes.
Yeah, and in regards to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Sampas.
Say it again.
In regards to this 24 and a half moon pastime of Krishna, or this attribute of Krishna, there is one pastime of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, if you know kindly, would you like to highlight that?
Pastime of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in relation to the 24 and a half moons?
Yes.
You're going to have to tell us that. I don't know. I don't know that.
We'll be happy if you know and if you narrate us.
Okay. I don't know the pastime. Anybody know the pastime? You know it? All right, let's hear it. You tell it.
I will try. I can't recollect entirely.
You don't know it entirely?
Yeah, I can try.
Okay.
So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was counting there are 25 moons on Krishna's face, on Krishna's entire body. He was counting them like that. But he reads in Chaitanya Charitamrut or Kaviraj Goswami's explanation that Krishna has 24 and a half moons. Then he gets puzzled. How come I am counting 25 moons and Kaviraj Goswami is saying 24 and a half? Kaviraj Goswami cannot be wrong. He is a liberated person. He is pure devotee. And I am also not wrong. I am counting 25. So because of this puzzle, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur could not find any answer. So he doesn't sleep at all in the night. He tries to find out the answer in every scripture, wherever it is possible. So somewhere in the midnight or somewhere early morning, he sleeps, little bit he dozes. In that sleep, he gets a dream of Radharani. And Radharani tells him that actually what Kaviraj Goswami is saying is correct. There are 24 and a half moons. And what you are counting, 25, it's not true. Because you are counting the forehead as full moon. But it is crescent moon. It's not full moon. And then Radharani tells Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur where it is mentioned exactly. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur opens that scripture and he finds it out. Yes. And then he counts, yes, Kaviraj Goswami, what he is saying, 24 and a half moon is exactly correct. And Kaviraj Goswami is referring to that book. And Acharya says, in the process, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur received darshan of Radharani and thus he was satisfied with this realization.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Okay, it's a little late. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.